The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I am your host, Raider Greg, up in here. That's right. We've got a post-Broncoho game to talk about. And boy, is there a lot to say. That and more here on show 671. All right, Raider Nation, on today's show, we will have a post-game for the Broncoho boringest game in the history of mankind. Yes, almost as boring as the Chiefs game, but in a different way. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this torture. That, we're going to do a little pregame for the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Yes, again, we got prime time. Don't ask me why. I guess everyone else thought that the Carroll regime would come through in living color. Well, it has been, and the colors are not really living, if you know what I'm saying. So we're going to hit that, and then the bone line should round this show up. Let's get into this Broncoho game there at Mile. Got to be high to watch a game. Well, the crowd was roaring. The team was ready. I mean, it was tense. It's a rivalry of division opponents. And the 2-7 Raiders went into the 7-2 at that time, Broncoho Nation, and laid an egg, 7 points, and they couldn't even muster up a field goal. Of course, our kicker, I don't know what's going on with him. And, well, this game was a horrific game.
In a matter of 5 days, the Raiders lost two games that they should have won. 2 days that were gifted to them, two games, and they took that holiday gift and they threw it out and they lost those games. Completely unacceptable performances from top to bottom in the organization, from the quarterback to the coaching to the players to everyone involved with this.
Now, Las Vegas generated 188 yards, but the Broncos only did 220. They're supposed to be this juggernaut, this incredibly tough team, the head of the AFC. They got more wins than anybody. I don't know why. They're not that good a team. We should have beat them, hands down.
You know, it's one of the first times ever in my career, in my entire career, that I covered a game where both teams, usually it's just one team, both teams had more penalties than first downs. Let that sink in. Usually the team that loses and gets boat raced could have more penalties than first downs. Both teams had more penalties than first downs. This was a terribly played football game. That was an awful game to put out to the world on a night when it was a standalone game. So I'm looking at what the Raiders are doing here, and I'm shocked by that.
I don't even know where to start. Yes, I do. I'm going to start here. You know what? I'm just getting right to it. Pete Carroll came into this regime, and Spytek, let me just say this. You knew that our offensive line was crap from the get-go, yet we have no results. I mean, we should be playing our young starters, our young non-starters, giving them experience right now, get them out there. Geno's already getting pummeled.
When it comes to Geno Smith, I continue to say how poorly Geno's playing. I was in the building all morning Geno obviously got injured. We wish him well. Geno wanted to come back into the game. Geno wanted to play for his teammates. How was Geno allowed to come back in the game and play in that game when Kenny Pickett was traded for a fifth-round pick? So as I look and I say, the Raiders traded for a quarterback who's played in bad weather and can play Pittsburgh, where he's bounced around. I said, why isn't Kenny Pickett coming into this game? Well, we now have the answer. Pete Carroll's loyalty to Geno and Geno's loyalty to Pete Carroll is the reason why Geno was allowed to come back into the game. So I look at this and I say to myself, loyalty got in the way of a sporting event last night. I'm all about loyalty with my friends and family and this radio show. Last night, loyalty got in the way of the game. Geno Smith should have been forced to the bench because he was injured and not capable to play anywhere near his ability for a backup quarterback who's completely healthy, knows the playbook, and was supposed to come in. If you have to break the glass, you break the glass and bring in Kenny Pickett. And they didn't bring in Kenny Pickett. Really? What am I missing there? Well, it sounds like it's all about the loyalty that they have to Geno Smith. And Geno was brought in for the right reasons. He had a good year last year. He's had a couple of good years. He's been to the Pro Bowl. 4,300 yards. 70% completion. I was talking to a former player today who said, I'm so disappointed for Geno. I can't recall a player who's so good playing this poorly. I said, say that again. I can't recall a player who's so good who's playing this poorly. I think that sums up Geno Smith this year. Geno has had an awful year as the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. Geno is a great guy, a very good player. He is nowhere near playing to his ability. And he was hired by this team to play at a high level, and he's not capable of doing that. I don't know if it's the scheme, if it's the play calling. I do know a few things. He doesn't have a very good offensive line. The offensive line got injured in the game. How great did Jackson Powers Johnson play in the first couple of drives of that game? Dylan Parham got hurt. JPJ got hurt. Colt Miller's gone for most of the year. So when you see everybody who's been injured along the way, you can understand that Geno isn't at full strength. Geno isn't playing to the best of his ability, and Geno got hurt last night. So this has been about competition the entire time. This has been about competition for Pete Carroll. And one of the big takeaways I had last night was Pete Carroll was pretty excited. Excited is the word I'm going to use. He was excited about the ability of the team to compete. So after the game, here's Pete Carroll talking about Brock Bowers, who literally had three targets, only one reception, and didn't have a target in the second half.
We were trying. We were trying all day long. Really, the calls were going that way, and the ball just didn't get there. We didn't try to, disguise it and not go to them. We had calls one after another, and they did a nice job of getting guys on them.
So Pete Carroll, who I exclusively interview every week, said they tried to get the ball to Brock Bowers. What do you mean they tried to get the ball to Brock Bowers? How do you not get the ball to Brock Bowers if you try? The fact that they're admitting that they can't get the ball to Brock Bowers is fascinating to me today, because Chip Kelly is an absolute wizard at drawing up plays for anybody. Anybody. He's done it at every level. And yes, Chip's been very good as a play caller. And also Josh McDaniels was very good as a play caller. And John Gruden was very good as a play caller. It's not like Mark Davis hasn't hired play callers, everybody. Mark Davis has hired John Gruden, Josh McDaniels, and Chip Kelly. He's got Tom Brady overseeing this. There's good people who know how to get on a whiteboard and draw up a play. Yesterday, they couldn't get Brock Bowers open in a 7-7 game. If the score was 31-7, I would have got Brock out of the game and said, Brock, we're going to sit you until Monday Night Football. We don't want to get you injured. We're getting blown out. This was a 7-7 game in the fourth quarter with the season already on the line, and we can't scheme Brock Bowers getting open. We can't scheme him. So when you look at what's happening here with Geno Smith, can't be playing any worse at quarterback for the team. Is that good enough for the chat? Is that good enough for our radio audience who thinks I'm kissing his ass? Geno's playing poorly. That's it. But the Raiders have now, they've hit the wall. The Raiders have hit the wall, and the wall is victorious.
Kirk, you were on the call alongside Jason Horowitz. We didn't see Brock Bowers get a target in the second half and only three throughout the game. I said earlier in the show, he needs to get a target even if he's not in the game, right? Even if he's right. in street clothes on the sideline, they need to throw him the ball just to make sure he's alert. How do you not go and get him targets in the second half at all? They ended up with none.
Yeah, because if I'm playing defensive coordinator against the Raiders, I don't care. I'm triple-teaming Brock Bowers. Let somebody else beat you.
Right.
I want one-on-one on the outside. And when you got the one-on-one on the outside, you threw it up to Dante Thornton, and guess what happened? Dropped it. Right?
Yeah.
Or you had the big run, and it comes called back because of a hold, right? Mm-hmm. So, look, I get it. I love this narrative. Like, how could you only get the ball to Brock Bowers? Like, bro, if I'm a defensive coordinator against the Raiders, I'm for sure not allowing Brock Bowers. He is their game breaker. He is their game wrecker. He will do anything. He will hurt your defense. And so my job as a defensive coordinator is to make sure that Brock Bowers doesn't beat you. So you could force feed him, you could do all that, or you can try to rely and trust in some guys outside of Brock Bowers to make some plays.
Right.
I mean, honestly, that's what I said in the pregame show. It was 89, 2, and then who? Okay? Because we know what Bowers can do. We know what Jinty's been, but who's going to be the who? Who's the next?
Right.
Is it going to be Trey Tucker? Is it going to be Michael Mayer? Who's the next guy that's going to be able to make some plays offensively? And that's where I think the Raiders get a chance to have some guys audition for that spot when it comes to the offense.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's just, I know it was frustrating thinking, man, this guy had 12 catches a couple of days ago, and then he has one catch for 31 yards and only three targets in the first half. Like,
That's my only thing, though. Like, you don't think Vance Joseph watched that Jaguars film and said, hey, this is what he's not going to do.
Right,
That's the part where I'm like, I've been in these locker rooms and I've been in these, you know, meeting rooms with coaches who come in and say, he had 12 catches on the Jaguar. He better not have more than five on us.
Right.
That's what it's going to be. So I'll give them a tip of the cap and a ton of credit because they were able to limit Brock. And I think that's where my frustration comes in because this was a game where the next man steps up. And now we're looking at a game that, you know, would have been Jacoby, but we need another one of these other receivers to go out and have 8 to 10 catches in that role if they wanted to do and take away Brock Bowers like that.
Right. No doubt.
We lost JPJ for the season. His ankle's really bad. That's a shame. He was really our only productive guard. But Grant is a good guard, too. He's learning, and he's big. And one thing you cannot teach a lineman is quickness, and that quickness Grant has. He's got that twitchiness, and I think he'll be a great lineman. We got to start working on him right now. Spy Tech should have done something about this line the beginning of the year. You know, the big boys up front make a big difference. Look at the Rams. Look at their offensive line, right? The Seahawks, their offensive line. When you have the big boys up front, they can move things around, make things much better for your passing game, no doubt. You know, Bo Chip Kelly is calling plays for a good offensive line. He's calling plays for a team that's not here. He's calling plays for players that aren't self-aware or aware enough of the play to make a go of it. We have drop balls. We have missed punts. We have great punts. This punter in this game was the best player on our team. That's the only reason they didn't come out and beat us by more. Is because we kept putting them on the 1 yard line on their side of the field. Excellent job. Now, our kicker missed a field goal again. Two games in a row. Unfriggin' acceptable. Al Davis would be flipping out and firing people, and that's exactly what happened to good old Tommy McMahon. Our special teams coach was fired. Fired.
Special teams is an absolute disaster. A disaster. We can't make a kick. We're getting kicks blocked. We're getting punts blocked. That is unacceptable from every level of the special teams. The thing that drives me crazy the most is the special teams penalties. When we kick the ball off, there can't be a penalty. When we receive the football, we start out most of the drives with a holding, and they take it and they move it back 10 yards. That is coaching, and that is inexcusable. The Raiders special teams has always been a strength of this organization. I don't think I've ever seen a special teams unit play this poorly this many weeks in a row. Decisions must be made, hard decisions in regards to the personnel and the coaching when it comes to special teams. It's an absolute liability for this organization right now. They can't play special teams. We have the best punter in football. He was a magician in the game last night with swirling winds. He was dropping great punts in. He did everything you could ask him to do. Other than that, we can't block, we can't tackle, we can't play special teams. So fix it. Whatever they want to do top to bottom, I'm just a radio host, fix it. Because it's costing this franchise games, and it's costing this franchise the ability to compete. We can't compete on special teams. We are rock bottom in this league. I don't have the rating overall, but I can just tell that we can't block anybody, and we can't do much when it comes to making a kick.
From the beginning of the season, there's been kind of a hype without reason. Spytek and all his talking, and Pete Carroll and all his talking, I'm sure they meant well. They meant to win. But if you look at the X's and O's, yes, and the players and our woes right now, it makes absolutely perfect sense. No offensive line, Geno Smith being thrown out to the dogs. I'll just tell you that, yeah, he's got the most interceptions of any quarterback in the NFL because he's getting sacked every third play. That's why. Our offensive line is trash. It has been trash. Last year it was trash. We haven't had a good offensive line in some time. And our offensive line coach, which happens to be a Carroll, is a problem as well. I mean, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, I would think. But let me not go too far. Spytek, Carroll and company at the beginning of the season during the evaluation process handed us a plate full of crap, telling us it's gold. You know, I could do a lot more with an honest appraisal. We have to work on our offensive line. We have positions we have to fill. We're not quite there. But, you know, don't tell me you're trying to win. You're not. Nobody wins with a bad offensive line. Nobody wins with a bad bunch of defensive backs. I think our defense is pretty good. It kicked butt in this game.
Now, the positive was the defense played fabulous. The Raider defense, led by Pete Carroll, along with Patrick Graham and Max Crosby, played a very good football game. They held the Denver Broncos to 10 points and one touchdown. Other than that, nothing good happened. And this is a recurring theme this season, where the Raiders, for whatever reason, cannot play complementary football. They just can't play a complete game. One or two of the three phases of the game fails in every game.
They did a great job on the defense with the Broncos. Two turnovers. Kept us in the game the whole game, all the way to the very end. You know, and then, of course, our kicker, Carlson, I don't even know. He started out to be a great player, but I'll tell you, his kicking sucks, and it sucked for the last year or so.
Now, I'm a Daniel Carlson guy. He's fine. He's missing kicks. It's like a golfer who's missing putts. It's not because he's not practicing. It's not because he's not coming in early and staying late. He's a very good player. I don't think he has the yips. Okay, I don't think he has the yips. He's missing kicks, but missing an extra point and missing a field goal in Denver that was makeable as other guys are hitting 68 yarders and breaking all-time records, that really hurts. So, unfortunately, I support all these guys, but I got to be critical. Daniel Carlson is not playing well. And could they make a decision in regards to his future? I don't know. I don't think we should. I'm not cut the kicker guy, but he's not kicking well. And I think it's really a problem now. Losing two games by a total of 4 points, and Carlson has missed 4 points. A field goal and an extra point is really costly here. Kickers live and die by miss or makes. And right now he's missing. And that's unfortunate, but I love Daniel Carlson. We do a lot of charity work with him. We do a lot of stuff with him. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. You're not going to find a better kicker than him.
But I'll tell you, his kicking sucks, and it sucked for the last year or so. And maybe he's out of a job. I don't know. But I will say this. This game is just another game in this season that is plagued with all kinds of issues, which we had last year. And the year before that. So I don't understand that all of a sudden, Pete Carroll and Spytek, they don't do a lot of changes. There's some changing. They got rid of great players. They got rid of players that are doing great on other teams right now. That's the most frustrating thing of all. Don't tell me you're trying to win and then give away or trade away great assets. Or also let people go that you might have to pay because we're not ready to win yet. That is pretty obvious to this fan base, I think. I mean, the jokes are over. The counseling is finished. I'm not counseling anymore because it's beyond that at this point. I'm very frustrated with the whole organization. I'm sorry that Carol Davis passed away. We all knew that it was coming. She was, you know, she was having a hard time, I'm sure. So God bless her and rest her soul. Now, Mark is a phenom with basketball. He is a terrible owner in the NFL. I don't know if that's the common factor. Everyone seems to be the ownership is the problem. I don't know. I'm not in the office. I can't tell. I don't know if Mark's telling them not to spend money. I don't know if Mark's saying we can't do that because I don't want to put that money out there. I don't know. But I will say this. It seems like this revolving door of coaches, assistants, head coaches, strength coaches, business managers, presidents. I mean, how many do we have to go through in, you know, 5 years, 10 years? This is the revolving door of the NFL. So now that I got my rant out of the way, I just think that for us as fans, we just have to sit back, watch the chaos for now. We should be playing the new guys. We should be playing all the new guys. Cam Miller should get a chance at quarterback. I mean, if we're going to do this the right way, let's just train our players. If Cam Miller is not the guy, if we don't think he can make it out there, well, then we'll know that we can just let him go next year instead of not knowing. I mean, they see things at practice, but you just never know until you're under the lights. Cam Miller was great under the lights. Why don't we give it a shot? What the heck? I do not understand. I know Gino, the $60 million man. Hey, man, that wasn't my idea. It certainly was the rest of the nation's idea. I don't think anyone in Raider Nation said, let's get Gino and bring him here. No, it was the contrary. We were hoping that Gino would be a great quarterback and bring with him the consistency and the accuracy. And it just didn't work out. It didn't work out because our general manager and the coach, they knew we had trouble in the trenches from the get-go. And so now, now Gino's getting pummeled every game. I mean, that man's getting his money. He's earning his money because he didn't beat out of it. I'll tell you right now. But Genty, And let me go on this, too. I have to go on this rant because I'm on a rant already. Has anybody else seen Geno's pouty face with his beanie? I cannot stand the pouty Geno, right? I just can't. Because the camera can't keep away from him. Watch on the game. When he puts his pouty face out, man, those cameramen love to take the picture. They love to keep the camera on him. Look at Geno. Look at him pouting. Come on, man. Come on. Raider up for crying out freaking loud. Get tough. Get mad. Get angry. Don't get pouty. And then there's Genty. Oh, yeah, the frustrated young man, the first-round pick that's just barely got his ears wet from the NFL, not even starting, and he's got a pouty face too. And he's got something to say. Keep your mouth shut, Mr. Genty, and run the football. Run the football. We don't need commentary. We don't need opinion. We don't need conjecture. We need you to run the football. And that is really the most irritating thing for me watching these games is as the camera goes on to our star players, you know, they look like they're defeated already. And they might be, but I sure as heck don't want to see it. I know you don't. Where's that conversation? Where's the conversation with the coaches about these games? I wonder what it's like in that office when you have Bo Chip Kelly and Geno in there and everybody else, all the coaches in there trying to figure out the game plan. What is the honesty in there? When is the line coach going to say, hey, man, we need some bodies here because this ain't happening. These guys aren't the guys. Or maybe he isn't the coach. Sensitive, baloney, drama-filled again. And then I'm hearing cries for Gruden. Come on, man. We cannot keep starting over. I am not like Pete Carroll's favorite, you know, guy. But we cannot continue to go through this carousel of coaches. And general managers. I thought Spytek had it together until I look at the team, how it's formed, and he sucks. He sucks. They drafted guys that can't catch a football. I don't understand. You can't teach speed, but you should be able to teach a guy to catch a ball. Because Geno Smith is paying for it. With his interception numbers, I'm telling you, more than two or three of these interceptions were not his fault. They bounced off the hands, the chest, the face, the crotch, wherever, of the receiver and got picked up by the other team. We got a lot of problems. But I'll tell you what, if Geno had time, he would be a much better quarterback. A little bit of time. But he runs for his life. He gets sacked more than any quarterback I've ever seen. He can't run away. He's not that guy. Put Cam Miller in for crying out freaking loud. Why do we have to suffer watching Geno suffer? Doesn't make any sense. Not to me. So here we are. The Raiders 7-10 against the Broncos who are crap. And whose idea was it in this game, by the way, to do a quarterback sneak on 4th and 3. That guy I'd like to get in the back alley with a sock full of soap. Bars of soap, that is. Because whoever designed that play and had Geno going to one side that we were going to get 3 yards, that was ridiculously stupid, lame. It looked lame. Everyone who saw the setup thought it was lame. As soon as they started to line up, I go, oh, this got to be good. It was no good. Our special teams, our special needs teams is garbage. It's a foundational piece of your team. The special team are supposed to be full of special players that specialize in certain things like kicking the ball and defending against the tip of the ball or to have it blocked. We need a long snapper. We need another kicker.
This league is cutting kickers left and right. What are you going to do? Bring in some guy who's 41 years old or 37 years old because he made a kick 2 weeks ago, or he's sitting there on his couch? Daniel Carlson's fine. But when it comes to special teams, I think the penalties are just bad.
We need a bunch of offensive linemen. We need guards, and we need a good tackle on the left side. We have some big boys that are on the practice squad. We better start moving them over so they get some experience so that they're not blindsided by their first year. So they have opportunities under the lights to show what they got. I mean, I don't know. The firing is whatever. I mean, yeah, the special teams coach, he was terrible. Fired him for good reason because he didn't learn any lessons. He didn't improve Jack. Got worse, by the way.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Kirk Morrison, former Raider linebacker, longtime NFL linebacker, and current color commentary part of the broadcast alongside Jason Horowitz, joins us now on the phone lines. And Kirk, on Friday, following the game, we saw Tom McMahon, special teams coordinator, let go. We've seen Daniel Carlson miss another field goal. We saw A.J. Cole get one blocked. There's been blocking issues this year on special teams. It hasn't been very special. That was the move that the Raiders made on Friday. What did you think when you saw it?
Yeah, when the unit that he's, you know, overseeing is not playing to their potential, that's what happens. You thank him for his effort. You thank for all the work that he's put into it. But obviously it's a different direction because, you know, it has cost the Raiders football games this year.
Yeah.
Whether it's the block field goal against the Chicago Bears, whether it's the block or the missed extra point in the Jaguars game that really ultimately came back to hurt the Raiders. So the missed field goals that you mentioned, all of those things are a part of it. And not to mention, you know, remember early in the season, they couldn't stop any returners on kickoff. So
yeah,
there was a lot that has went into it. I think when you look at the entire body of work, that unit, which you thought was the most solid for the Raiders, was not solid at all, as you know, the special teams were not special for the Raiders to start, and we'll see what it looks like now moving forward.
Yeah, we will. We absolutely will. And, of course, there's a couple extra days or an extra day. We'll see what happens on Monday Night Football. Dallas Cowboys coming to town, Allegiant Stadium. We look forward to it.
What did Spytek bring to special teams? I swear, is it just me or is it just like recently special teams is an issue? Because for years, I never even worried about the kicking game or the cover game. I'm sure I'm alone, but I think the Raiders had a pretty doggone good special teams. They have for years. Except now instead of just the offense or the defense sucking, now the special teams super suck with linemen who can't block. I mean, I watch football. I watch other games. I watch other teams that are epitome of the game, that really show what this game could be as far as entertainment. And, you know, I told someone once, football, they didn't understand football. I said, football is a ballet of superior athletes, along with, you know, catching and throwing and running. It's a ballet. It's a beautiful game if it's played correctly, but it can sure be an ugly game like we've been putting out for the last few games. Trust me. I know this is for sure, and I'm holding on to this. We can't fire Carroll. Bo Chip's got to stay because we got to pay him the money anyway, but we should give him assistant. We should get Daboll and hire him as an offensive coordinator. See how he works. He doesn't have a job right now, and they're paying him anyway, so bring him in. Let him call plays. Let him and Chip figure it out. Maybe there's something there. I like Daboll. I thought he should have been our head coach. You know, he got a raw deal. But I digress here for a second, because it's about the Raiders. It's about our future. It's about how we look at our team, and if we're willing to spend the big money it takes to go see them in Las Vegas. Come on, man. Mark, don't you see that you would sell more tickets, you'd sell more merchandise if this team started to win? And I don't know who you have advising you, Tom Brady, whoever, they ain't doing it. I don't care if it's Tom. No, we ain't having it happen. It ain't turning around no time soon, as far as I can see. But that doesn't mean we don't have a future. That doesn't mean we can't improve in one season, because we can. We just need the guys. We need to pay the guys. We need to go out and get the guys. And we have to have those positions. We need a quarterback. I swear, if we win meaningless games towards the end of the year, I will be livid. It's so stupid. We suck. Let's continue to suck until we're done. Let's play just like this until it's over and we get a top three pick, top five even, so we can pick a quarterback and start that young man on his championship run and build around somebody who we know is good. Right? That's how it's done. That's how it should be done here. We can't do anything. There's no firing Carroll. There's no firing Kelly. There's just, you know, we got rid of the special teams guy, worthy of that. But we have to ride this season out. That's just the way it is. We might have to have a few more sessions of the Raider Nation podcast group therapy. But, I mean, I know you guys are just like me. You guys have been like, okay, let's see what this game will bring, or what will that game bring, right? Which brings me to the fact that the Broncos are a terrible team. They will be lucky to get out of the first round of the playoffs, and they will fall horribly on their face. They've never beat anybody that's been super good. But that being said, we're not going. We're going to be home on the couch. Fine. Let's start looking for players now. Spytek should be out there finding those linemen, finding those special positions, finding guys that can catch a football. How about that? Yeah. Our coaches better be held to a higher standard. You know, the wide receiver coach, how come these guys can't hold on to the football? Make them catch 1,000 balls. I don't know. But these are the pros, man. They should not be dropping passes. Just not. Shouldn't be happening.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Kirk Morrison. Kirk, what would you like to see from this team? And I know I've asked you this question before, but just knowing that they're sitting there at 2-7 and wanted to see this thing get turned around and start seeing it go in the right direction, where does it start when it comes to, you know, turning this thing around, regardless of what the overall record ends up being at the end of the season?
So they go into a game against the Dallas Cowboys, which a lot of eyeballs, right? The Cowboys are a brand team. And so what I want to see is, I want to see some guys take the next step. I mean, they traded away Jacoby Myers. And look, you love Jacoby. I know it was a great player for the Raiders, but he wasn't in the plan for this new regime. And, you know, I love Mike Tomlin always says it. I want volunteers, not hostages. And Jacoby Myers was a guy who told what he wanted to do. I want to be traded. And when he's walking around telling people he wants to be traded, I'm only here for my guys. To me, he's not all the way bought in. So I think you bring in Tyler Lockett to help bring along Dante Thornton, Jack Besh, the guys who are going to be on this roster for years to come. That's what I want to see, Q. I want to see those guys progress. I want to see those guys really start to honestly show why they were drafted where they were. And really show that they're a part of this roster for next year as well. I'm not saying, hey, we're already looking toward next year, but they traded away Jacoby Myers for a reason, and it's time for those guys to really step up. Because if there was anything I was most disappointed in the game against the Broncos, were that the rookies, you know, 8 games into it, made some mistakes that really cost the team, whether it was Ashton Jeanty, you know, dropping a pass that goes off of his shoulder pads and bounces in the air and it's an interception, or Dante Thornton dropping a pass, one of the best passes of the night from Geno Smith, possibly could have been a touchdown right before half. And then you think that Jack Besh gets a holding call on a 32-yard Ashton Jeanty run. Those plays were the ones I was probably most disappointed, because been waiting, been touting this rookie class and finally get the red shirts taken off, but yet my guys didn't step up to the plate last week. So that's what I want to see. That's the progress. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but that's what I want to see.
No, that's a great answer, and that's part of the issue, is that I don't think that these guys have had, outside of Jeanty, really a ton of burn. It's been a lot of stop and start, and especially Besh, I mean, he still doesn't really get too much burn. So is it one of those where they need to play a lot more now, especially now that Jacoby's not there?
You know, I had a chance to talk to a couple of college wide receiver coaches around, you know, college football, you know, my college football duties. And
yeah,
I will say this. A lot of them told me that the offenses that Dante Thornton and Jack Besh came from in college, they don't necessarily have to run the route tree. There's only, you know how it is in college. They look to the sideline and they either run in two routes.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the quarterback already knows where he's going with the football and those things. But that being said, he just told me, man, year two, that first full offseason, OTA, mini camp, preseason, knowing the offense, where you need to be, what you need to do. It's basically, I think that's the reason why these guys are really playing now, is because I believe that Pete Carroll's trying to speed up that process for those players now to get them a lot more game reps. I think before, you didn't expect them to have to play a big role because you had Jacoby, you had Trey Tucker, you thought you were going to have a healthy Brock Bowers. And so that all changed with the Brock Bowers injury. That changed with Jacoby Myers being traded and he was banged up. And now that's why I think the plan is to get these guys out there and get them, as hate crazy to say it, caught up to the NFL game.
But anyway, that's my rant. That's what I'm, you know, I was going to go in on a big rant. That's as big as it's going to get, folks. We got the Cowboys coming up Monday night. They're struggling too. They're struggling. Their team is struggling. Their defense is struggling. But, you know, they've won some good games. They play really well. I got to tell you, they got a good quarterback. I wouldn't mind having him. I wouldn't pay him that much, but I wouldn't mind having him. He gets the ball out, gets it out quick. It's pretty good with his feet. You know, he's damaged goods now, but, you know, the Cowboys are going to be something to deal with at home. Now, that doesn't mean we can't win. I mean, I don't want us to. Just for the fact of record, we need to get a top five pick, man. We need a quarterback. And other teams have done it, seen it happen. We've been bad enough to do it. I mean, just look at the last 20 years, first 8 games. Robert Moorhead sent me this. It's pretty bad. One season with Derek Carr, one season was great. I remember that season. So do you, before he got hurt. Ugh, that was tragic. We were going places, but the next year, again, buffoonery. Gosh. Ugh. What did Raider Jim say? He said, "It's too late for me. But it's not too late for you. Run while you can." But the Raider Nation, man, is full of all fans of all kinds. And I'm sure if we ever start to win again, the bandwagon will fill up just like it always has. We'll get all kinds of new people out there, which is cool. I like it. It's great. Builds the nation. Makes people wait for the next championship like the rest of us are waiting for. Now for the last 30 years or more. But, man, we just got to look forward to the constant positive changes that Carroll's going to do. We got to look forward to Spytek learning a few things and growing into a decent general manager. like Howie Roseman, for crying out loud. You know, there's no secret to the job. There's just guys that get it and guys that just don't. And I hope Spycheck gets it. Because if he gets it, then we'll have a growing franchise. One that will learn, grow, and start to succeed. And Pete needs these players. I don't know what that... I'm still just baffled by the, you know, keeping JPJ out of the lineup. I'm baffled with that. I don't understand that type of thing.
Who let the dogs out?
I believe the Cowboys could be a turnaround for us. It could be a game that we could redeem ourselves. Could be a game where we could find a great running game. Could be a game that could really turn things around as far as our attitude and the way the team feels in the locker room. Because at this point, at 2-8, you know, it gets ugly in there. People don't want to come to work. People are tired of pushing so hard for a no reward. In the field, it gets sloppy on the field. You see it in the tackling. You see it in the catching the ball. I mean, I don't understand it. You know, these guys are getting paid pretty good salary, but and they're young. Whatever. I just think we got to just hold on, Raider Nation, because we got to hold on till next season and see what kind of changes were made. See what happens as far as our team, as far as growth, offensive line, defensive backs, quarterback. These are all questions that need to be answered and not a bunch of BS, coach speak or GM speak. I am sick of it. And that is all I have to say about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Raider fans, here we go. The bone line.
7755 Raider. 7755 Raider.
Throw the nation a bone. Throw me a bone. Get on there and throw your bones. If you don't like your first recording, do it 2, 3, 5 times. I don't care. We'll pick out the best one. Don't be shy. How could you be shy? You're a Raider fan. No, we're all loud and proud. Get on the bone line because we got some guys shouting out right here. We got some great takes. And here they are from the nation to your station.
It's time for the bone line, folks. Let's get right to it. From the game, there at Mile, you got to be high to watch a game. We have Raider T-Rex.
Hey, so this is Rhett Lee, and I just attended the game in Denver. And, you know, it was a good time, but unfortunate loss. Hey, what can we do?
Here's a Green Bay Packer fan at the game right now. Here's immediate reaction after the game.
Raiders.
Green Bay Packer fan. We should have won this game. Man, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, come on. Here's a Broncos fan.
What's up? Go Broncos! Raiders are garbage, Tim.
Hey, Raider Greg, Raider Randy. You know, we just lost 7-10, okay? It's a thing. Because Broncos fans right here, right now, they're not celebrating. They're scared. Because they go, you know what? They can't feel confident that they're going to win this division. And yeah, I know that we probably don't have a chance, okay? Slim, small, minute chance. We're not going to win it, but you know what? They're feeling like they're not going to win it too. The Chiefs are fucking coming up. But I'm torn because I don't know if I want the Broncos or the Chiefs to win it. You know? But tonight, I said it to somebody, I go, I'd rather have the Broncos win it. This year, let's knock those Chiefs out, man. Let's go, Raiders. Next year, it's our year.
Well, I could see you were having a good time, and I am glad you were. And the Green Bay fan and the Bronco fan, yeah, they were all your friends. That's very cool. I'm sure it was fun because all games are fun. Going to a live football game, there's nothing like it. And 7-10. Yeah, you bet those Bronco fans are stressed out because they figured we were going to get throttled. That's why they were all there. There was packed with fans waiting for the Broncos to throttle the Raiders, and they were stressed out all the way till the end. And that is a precious thing, and you should hold on to that one, brother. Thank you for the call. And our next caller is Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. What's up, brother?
What up, Raider Nation? This is Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. Well, another fucked up loss. But you know what? Our defense kicked ass. They did. They held them to one touchdown. That's it. One fucking touchdown. They did their job, and we lost because of a multitude of things. Was it Jack Besh because he doesn't know how to block? Was it Thornton because he doesn't know how to do a rub instead of a pick? Was it Thornton because he friggin' just let a ball go right through his hands at a key time when we had momentum? Was it Mostert because he fucking forgot to block? Or the blocking team on our punting? What the fuck was that? Jesus Christ. And you know what it is? This is how these guys practice. This is what they do. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. I don't give a shit if you're a rookie. You've been playing for years. You know what to do. God damn. Gino played okay. He didn't play good enough to win. He played okay. But, yeah, the defense did a good job, but our offense is crap. And our offensive line. Our offensive line is shit. It is absolute shit. And when we lost our best offensive lineman, now all we have is a bunch of practice squad guys out there. They're garbage. They really are. I'm sorry. DJ Glaze, he's worthless. Meredith, he's not our center. Come on. Parham. No way. Foresight. They just kept getting the shit kicked out of them. They're weak. They're weak and they're slow. Fuck these guys. All right, Raider Nation. This is another bullshit game. Yeah, I think we should have just let Pickett play. Gino was jacked up at the end. You know, I give him props trying to stay in, but he wasn't doing us any favors. All right, Raider Nation. This is Raider Sid. I'm out.
Love it all. Love everything you said. Our O-line stinks. Gino played okay. We could have won with him. The fact that they kept sending him in with the bruise of his shin was, you know, I don't even know. I didn't understand that. When someone's hurt, I guess they didn't trust Pickett. I don't trust Pickett either. So, you know, it is what it is, man, our O-line. You know, we have a guy named Charles Grant who's a great lineman. He's quick. He's got the natural ability. Just needs to get a little bigger. Other than that, we don't have an offensive line. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why Genty can't get running, because we don't get push in the front. And we will not get him to run or Gino to really pass until we have offensive linemen. And that is it, brother. Love the call. And our next caller, the Cheese Head Raider. What do you got for us, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Cheese Head Raider calling from Wisconsin. And as I said before, I kind of wait to collect my thoughts I'm an emotional guy. It's just how it is. I love the Raiders, and I hate them decisions or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's that's a love-hate thing. I mean, I rep my Raider stuff regardless. I don't brag them up, and I don't – well, I do run them down because I'm a Raider fan, and I see what they do, so I think I have the right. It's kind of like voting. If you aren't going to vote, shut your mouth about the condition of the country. Anyways, so it is the next day after we lost in a game we absolutely could have to the Broncos. One thing I'm going to throw in here right now is I just saw the Raiders fired their special teams coach. Hey, great. Don't stop. Fire Chip Kelly, fire the offensive line coach, and fire the quarterback coach. Now, of course, we know those things are probably not going to happen. Chip Kelly would get fired before his kids get fired, and obviously I'm talking about Pete Carroll. But, I mean, you have to send a message. That offensive line, after JPP went out, holy God, I thought it was bad when he was in there. Good. And they actually were running pretty good. I will admit this. He's pulling and he's, you know, opening up holes for Gentry. Man, they were doing something good. And then he goes out and you just see, oh my gosh, it was like they didn't know what they were doing. And then Perriman, I guess, goes out and they bring in another guy. Oh my goodness. He's literally falling over his own feet, Raider Nation. I'm sure you saw it, but it was pathetic. I know that, you know, I've had some go back around with other Raider Nation and whatever about whether it's the secondary or the offensive line. I mean, I'm telling you which one is worse. You can flip a coin. They're horrendous. But I think the offensive line is the most important one fixing of the two because you can control the clock. Yesterday, man, hats off to the Raiders defense. They were out on that field as long as they were, and they were still giving it. And, man, oh, man, I'd take the tip of my hat to them. That was fantastic. But they're not going to be able to keep doing that. I mean, we just all know it. You're just going to get so worn down, it's not going to happen. So, good thing we got a 9-day rest before we play the Cowgirls. I will be out there along with my daughter. We're just talking how we're going to get out there with all these flights being canceled. It might be an adventure, but we got the tickets bought, and we're going out there. Anybody else going to be out there? Maybe hit me up. Maybe we can meet in the parking lot. It'd be great to meet other members of the Raider Nation and to hear your voice. We're a family. Love to put a voice to a face or a face to a voice, however you want to say it. And until Monday night, go Raiders. Cheesehead Raider, I am out.
Yeah, you know, the Bronco fans were afraid. You could tell. They were freaked out. They were stressed out. It was quiet in there until the end. And yeah, I've just gone over the whole offensive line debacle. And that's kind of what it is. And so no one's getting fired, bro. I mean, especially Pete Carroll's sons. Please. I wish they would give them an assistant job instead of the job. Long story short, agree with you 100%. And, you know, when you come to Vegas for the Dallas game, you're going to see Crusader Raider. I believe he'll be there. Crossbones Kelly will be there. All the people that you know and love should be there. Randy, Lisa, I won't be there, but there's a lot of fans that will be there, brother. You're going to have a great, great time. I hope we beat them. That would be the best time for you to be there when there's a victory. I sure hope for your sake there is one. And for everyone else who made that trip. Thanks for the call, brother. And our next caller from Pleasanton, California. It's Raider Colin in the house. What do you got for us, brother?
Raiders! What's happening? Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Prez, Raider Nation. This is Raider Colin in Pleasanton. Just giving a call. Let's see, it's Friday morning, day after the loss to the Broncos. Hate losing, but you know, at least it was competitive. We had two competitive games in a row, which I know not shouldn't be feeling good about being competitive. I want to win, but you know, it's an improvement, right? We showed up, especially the defense showed up against a not very good offensive team. A couple of things I want to say. I mean, I'm feeling good, even though we've lost. I mean, those two games were close and winnable. You know, if Carlson could have hit that field goal, that would have been nice. Might have had a different outcome, but you know, hopefully he can get straight. But you know, I think when I was really despairing, I think I just had underestimated the impact of Brock Bowers. I mean, he was obviously massive against Jacksonville and against Denver. I mean, they had to account for him, and I think that's, you know, in the first half we got our touchdown. And we were doing other things, and they were, you know, having to account for Bowers. It kind of opens up the offense and takes pressure off, and you know, makes Geno better able to do things, and just makes us better. So huge to have him back and kind of see the team that we were expecting early in the year. You know, and with Bowers and Dash and Genty, those two young studs, I think we got a bright future. Really, just got to, you know, build around those pieces, and I think we got some good things coming. So I'm feeling good. Jacoby Myers trade, I actually feel good about that. I think it's good management. I mean, he said he wants to trade. He wasn't going to be here next year. He'd be a free agent. So, you know, trade him now. We had him half the season. We got the fourth and sixth round picks. Instead of, if not, he would have just walked out the door and we'd have nothing, right? So I think that was smart for the long term. So I'm good with that. I know there's the whole question of, do we want to win now or do we want to build? You know, I want both personally, right? I think we need to build for the long term, but I also want to win now. I want us to draft as low as possible. I know Raider Greg, he said, you know, you don't want us drafting 10 or whatever or 7. I want us drafting as low as possible because, you know, we got to start winning. The only way to build this and start turning it around is we got to do, look, how much can we improve in this remainder of the season that we have? And start winning and getting these guys a taste of winning and feeling good at the end of this season and going into next season. Add some great pieces and keep it going. So those are my thoughts. Let's win, baby. Just win, baby. Love you all, Raider Nation. Thank you all for putting this show on. You guys are the best. And have a great weekend, y'all. Bye.
Yeah, I like that. I like that attitude, Colin. I think it's right. I know we will get better. I know I want us to win now. We're not doing so well, but I don't want a 10th pick in the draft with this team. We should be able to get, you know, maybe a top 5 pick. I'll be happy with that. A top 3 pick would be ecstatic. We need to get a quarterback, man. We need a quarterback and we need linemen, offensive linemen. For sure. And yeah, Jenny's going to have another year under his belt. Everybody will be a year progressed. I do like the basis of our team. I do like the guys that we have on this team. You know, I like Myers too, but too much money. But I do think we have a lot of possibility if we stick with the guy. We stick with Pete Carroll. We stick with who we got and our defense. Graham stays here. And we just continue to develop and make better decisions on trades and, you know, spend some money in free agency and get ourselves a football team around a young quarterback. I mean, that's my dream come true. We saw it last time when Derek Carr was picked in the second round and we were off. So we need to do that again to get our guy, our own homegrown guy, so we could watch him make it all the way to a championship. I agree. I think we're going in the right direction. It's just time consuming. And we should have beat the Broncos. But, you know, bad teams find a way to lose. And we're not a good team yet. And last but never least, ho, ho, ho. Raider Claus is in the house and he'll be in the house. What do you got for us, brother?
Hey, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Raider Claus checking in. Sunday, no football today. No Raider football today. Watched the game on Thursday, and yeah, I'm not really sure what to say. defense stepped up big. You know, one thing I did notice was as soon as JPJ went out, we couldn't do crap. Offensive line fell apart. You know, I know Miller's already out, but, you know, JPJ was leading the way for Genty to make holes, and Geno had time to make passes, but, you know, that's one thing. And then the play calling, the shift in the game, and it's like I said, oh, well, there we go. You know, we were winning the battle of field position. You know, Cole is pinning them back, you know, two kicks inside the 2 yard line. And we decide to go for it on 4th and 5 on the 40 yard line. And it's like, our defense is holding up. We've got a 7-point lead. You know, I don't mind being aggressive, but we have to be smart also. And that, began the end. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, held the Broncos. We played well, you know, whatever. On a different note, I just wanted to, shout out to everyone in the nation that the Raiders have invited Raider Claws out to Allegiant Stadium. I'll be there on 2 dates, before the game against the Browns on the 23rd and before the game against the Broncos on the 7th. We're raising toys, collecting toys for the Olive, kids over there in Las Vegas. So they should be sending out an announcement, but I just wanted to reach out to everyone. And if you're going to be there, come on by. If you can, drop off a toy. If not, just come by and say hi. Take a picture. All right? Everyone have a good time, and be safe. Go Raiders.
Yeah, that, you know, the defense stood up. We'll see. We just have to watch our team the rest of the year and look at different aspects of it, see where we need improvement. I mean, we're going to see it, and maybe they'll improve. Maybe we'll get some wins. I don't know. But I do know this, Raider Nation, if you guys are going to the game against the Browns or the game against the Hoes, the Broncos, that is, you got to go see Raider Claws. He's a super fan. He's a super dude. And, man, those guys, I'm telling you, the volunteer work just never stops. There's always someone calling. There's someone needing something. So bring a toy. Bring a toy to the stadium, man. Drop it off for someone needy. You know how that can be. I sure do. And see Raider Claws. I'm going to go, and I'm going to see you. When we play the Broncos, brother, I'm going to bring a toy and introduce myself and shake your hand, Raider Claws, because your day is coming real soon as far as ho, ho, ho. I love it, man. You represent the nation well, and I appreciate that. Well, that is the last edition until the next one of the Raider Nation podcast. Got to keep positive. You know, it's frustrating. It's been frustrating. But, you know, we can see glimpses of light in a dark tunnel. I do. JPJ, when he gets back. I mean, our line. We just got to get some maulers. We've done it before. We'll do it again. It takes a little time. I just hope we just keep the staff together so that we can grow together to a dominant football program. I'm Raider Greg, and I am out.